and welcome to another episode of Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. I am your host, Josh Gillespie. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight. We're going to have a bit of a new show tonight. We're going to have a fresh monologue to start out the show, and that's because things have been a little busy around here in the world of Gillespie. My co-host, Mark Warner, and I, we're going to be heading out to the Smart Girls Summit this weekend and partying with the rest of the FTR team and, of course, Smart Girls in Crystal City, just outside of Washington, D.C. It's going to be an exciting time. And there we're going to be getting a lot of fresh material and exclusive interviews. And next Tuesday is going to be coming back pretty much fresh, new, and strong. But we are going to be focusing tonight on a little bit of, on some important issues. I'm going to bring back an interview from our, I believe it was our third show with Jason Weiss of Stop Child Trafficking Now. And that is because he is having a fundraiser coming up, and I want you to listen to his interview again and consider participating in his fundraiser, or at least giving to it. What he's doing is important. Child trafficking is something that is still a major problem here in the United States, although it's not discussed a lot. I mean, we know of it as being a big problem around the world, but, you know, it's a problem here as well, and it's something that we need to keep attention to. And, of course, we'll be revisiting our thrilling discussion with Bill Browning of the Blairco Project and Dr. Melissa Clothier to recap our discussion on the Prop 8 ruling out in California. But tonight, I can't help but think of Mike Castle, the defeated congressman in the Delaware primary, who recently announced that he's considering it a 50-50 decision on whether he's going to be pursuing a third-party bid, an independent bid, for that Senate seat. And it made me think of populist author and commentator Jim Hightower, who once wrote a book entitled "There's Nothing in the Middle of the Road But Yellow Stripes and Dead Armadillos." And while there's very little that I agree with in regards to Hightower's political views, I can't help but agree with the sentiments expressed in that title. In 1994, the Republican Party took back control of the House of Representatives for the first time since 1952 in a surprising landslide known as the Republican Revolution. The interesting thing about this revolution, which changed both the face of our party as well as the course of our country, is that it was less about party ideology and more about ideas. These ideas, which would have seemed like basic common sense to the founders of this country, were bold initiatives that caught the attention of the American people. What I'm trying to point out here is this. The Republican Revolution was much less about party identity, though I'd be foolish to think that rejection of the Democratic Party didn't play some role, and more about supporting a particular viewpoint or set of ideas. The voters went to the polls to vote for ideas that they agreed with more than they did to simply vote for a party identity. Sadly, in the years following this revolution, the establishment regained control, mainly with a number of revolutionaries joining the establishment, and the Republican Party lost its way, returning to its previous party-over-ideas stance, and eventually handed the reins back over to the Democrats in 2006. There's a lesson here that I suspect many of you already know, and that is the basic concept in politics that people prefer to vote for something as opposed to against something else. In other words, campaigns that offer voters a slate of ideas or viewpoints that they can support often do better than campaigns based on "my opponent is evil" platform. People are generally attracted to ideas more than a party label, though it would be tough to argue that "Yes, We Can" was an idea. As discussed in our last episode, the Tea Party is forcing a discussion that the GOP has needed for some time, in this case the battle of ideas versus power. I would argue that my party became drunk with power and sold out the basic core principles which are not only at the heart of conservatism, but would be quite familiar and popular with the authors of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. The principles of limited government, a lower tax burden on society, and of liberty were at the core of another revolution that changed our nation, the Reagan Revolution of 1980. The interesting thing about Ronald Reagan is that no one would consider him a moderate, whether friend or foe. Reagan was a man of strong principles who was deeply committed to the conservative ideas that he had been espousing for three decades by the time of his election. He was proud and unapologetic about what he stood for, and these ideas attracted a broad coalition which formed a power base lasting more than a decade, with ripples still felt today. Many people who would normally vote Democratic were attracted to the concepts of conservatism that ushered in a new era for the modern GOP. And regardless of how positive and welcoming President Reagan was, there was no doubt about where he stood and whether he was willing to fight for his ideas. However, post-1980 and 1994, we had a Republican Party which became drunk on power and lost its way. We elected a president in 2000 who campaigned as a worthy successor to Reagan's legacy, but who governed as a president who seemed willing to spend whatever was necessary in order to buy the favor of voters, regardless of the cost to our Republican brand. As a consequence, voters rightfully lost faith that our party actually stood for anything in particular beyond gaining and maintaining power, and sent us a very powerful message in 2006. But it is a message that the Republican establishment has heard? Clearly, 2010 has showed us the answer to that question is a resounding no. Credibility with voters is key, and once lost, very difficult to regain, as it should be. One should pay a price for promising to be one thing before becoming another. The GOP has paid that price, and one would certainly argue that the nation was paid an even greater price with the election of Barack Obama in 2008, a direct consequence of losing our way. Call me crazy, but I truly believe the American people would much rather support a candidate with strong principles over someone simply looking to gain or keep power. 2010 has certainly demonstrated this with a whole host of conservative candidates driving moderates out seemingly everywhere we turn. And while we would argue that many of those candidates have their warts, I would argue that a wart-covered candidate with firm principles will be far more attractive to voters than squishes like Didi Scozafaba, Bob Bennett, Lisa Murkowski, or Mike Castle. In the end, I'm forced to revisit the Jim Hightower comment in which I opened this monologue and add one more thing to it. The Republican Party will be just as dead as those armadillos if we don't clean up our act, reject squishy moderates, and get behind candidates bold enough to actually fight for something. We need to fight as though our very nation is at stake, which it is. Which brings me to why I'm so upset with Mike Castle, why I'm so upset with people like Lisa Murkowski, why I'm so upset with people like Didi Scozafaba. These moderates get defeated in a primary. Yet if a conservative is defeated in a primary, we get behind the winner of a primary. We do it all the time. We see it happening in New Hampshire right now, where the Tea Party candidate, LaMontagne, is getting behind the establishment candidate. But when conservatives defeat moderates, they either support the Democrat and the general, such as the case with Didi Scozafaba and Wayne Gilchrist of Maryland a couple of years back, or such as the case with Lisa Murkowski and Mike Castle, they are pursuing or thinking about pursuing third-party bids. Ladies and gentlemen, these people are about keeping power, not preserving it. They put their needs above our needs. And for this, their actions cannot stand. We need to get behind our candidates. We need to support our Republicans in the fall. Every single one. You know, I may have said my things about Christine O'Donnell last week, but the thing is she is our GOP candidate in Delaware. And I will support her. I will support our GOP candidates on the fall general ballot. And we need to get behind them, especially our conservatives, people who will need our help, the Joe Millers and Marco Rubios, the Mike Lees, you know, even the Christine O'Donnells, if you can support her. I still question whether she can win in Delaware, but she is our candidate, and we need to support her. So what the Tea Party is doing, I am grateful for. Because if we as voters can't hold our GOP accountable, who will? Who will hold our government accountable? So I ask you to support those who are willing to hold our government accountable. So I ask you also to stick around, because we're going to have a really good show tonight. Stuff you may not have heard prior, because we're going back to some early stuff. I urge you to stick around and listen to our segment with Jason Weiss of Stop Child Trafficking Now, as I mentioned before. Again, he'll be mentioning the fundraiser that he is putting together in this segment. And listen to a lively conversation after that with Bill Browning and Melissa Clothier over Proposition 8. It's a fun discussion. So stick around, and we'll be right back after these messages.